Mary Higgins Clark joins us by phone tonight. She doesn't really need an introduction, but it's interesting to note that she has written 36 suspense novels, 4 collections of short stories, an historical novel, a memoir, and 2 children's books. She has over 100 million copies of her books in print in the U.S. More recently, she began co-authoring with best-selling author Alafair Burke a series of novels, including The Cinderella Murder and All Dressed in White, as well as the one we'll talk about tonight, which is titled The Sleeping Beauty Killer. Mary Higgins Clark, I'm always delighted to talk with you and to welcome you back to Around Cincinnati.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Barbara. It's lovely to be with you again.
I am also very happy to see this very appealing character of Laurie Moran back with us. This is the 3rd novel that she stars in. So before we get to the case she's working on, could you just reintroduce people to who she is, what she does in her life, what her personal life is like, please?
Oh, sure. This book, The Sleeping Beauty Killer, starts with Lacey Carter getting out of prison. She's been there 15 years, convicted of murdering her fiancé. And when she finally gets out, she goes to Laurie Moran of the Under Suspicion series and begs her to take on her case. She said, "I'm innocent. I didn't do it." She wouldn't plead guilty and get a much lighter sentence. And she said, "I wouldn't do that because I am not guilty. I'd rather give up 15 years of my life than have it that I am a convicted murderer." And Laurie reluctantly takes it on. She has a new interviewer on, as opposed to her friend Alex Buckbo. And she takes it on, and now she has a new interviewer whom she doesn't like very much and who's trying to take over the program. And she starts talking to the people who Casey says were around, were there that night, who did this and that. And she finds that Casey hasn't told her the full truth. So she's very upset with going around and speaking to the other people. And then, of course, things start to happen.
We should maybe take one step back and say Laurie Moran got into this work of being on a television show called Under Suspicion by virtue of something that happened in her life. This is several years in the past. So what happened to her husband?
Well, her husband took their 3-year-old to the playground, and somebody came up out of the blue with a gun, and Greg says, "You're welcome to my wallet. It's in my pocket." He says, "I don't want your wallet," and shoots him, kills him. And the 3-year-old, who's on the swing, starts screaming, "Blue Eyes killed my daddy. Blue Eyes killed my daddy." And that's the first book in that series when Laurie, 5 years later, starts to produce television shows and uses the Under Suspicion series. They liked that book so much, the publishers did. They said, "We really want Laurie to go on with her Under Suspicion series." And they said, "We know you don't want to write 2 books in 1 year alone." I said, "Not anymore. My God, I can't do that." So they gave me copies of 5 other authors' books and their bios. And the minute I read Alafair Burke, I said, "She's the one I can work with. I know we can tell a good story together." So we've done 3 now, and we have just signed up for 2 more. Alafair Burke was a federal prosecutor. She now teaches criminal law at a college in New York. And I could just tell from her writing that we would be good together. She has 11 of her own novels out, very successful ones. But we were able to jive. What we do is meet at the publisher's office and start to kick around a new story. Often she's the one who says, "I'd like to write about someone who was convicted of a crime and now wants to be on the Under Suspicion series." So that was the kickoff of it. We talked about it, which one did it, which one looks guilty, who are the background people in it, and of course, we're setting it in the New York area always. That's a given. We like what we're doing. she says, I think this one did it. And I say, honestly, I don't think that one did it. So she writes the first draft. I write the second draft. She writes the next draft. And I write the final draft. And we go over together to agree on every word in it. And then it comes out. And so far, it's been well received, I'm happy to say.
And one of the things that the two of you offer us in The Sleeping Beauty Killer is not just whether the butler did it, but there's a whole cast of likely suspects here. Do you want to tell about who are these other people that might have a reason for killing Hunter, who was Casey's fiancé?
Yes, Hunter Ollie III is the main character, well, is the victim in it. And his brother has always been jealous of him and feels the father favors him. So he's a very unreliable character. And then there is a gossip columnist who keeps torturing Casey and calls her Crazy Casey. And the minute she gets out of prison, she said Crazy Casey is out shopping for new clothes. So Casey feels as though she can't move without being watched. And she's wearing dark glasses and a dark cap to try to keep from being known when she walks around in New York. And she has a mother who loves her but does not believe in her, believes she killed Hunter, which, of course, is very tough to Casey. And then when Lori takes her on and starts investigating these other people, she finds that Casey has not told her the full truth. And she gets very worried about whether she's wasting her time and wasting the program. So there are good characters in it. And there are several women in it who were very much in love with Hunter and very, very jealous of Casey. So you've got to have that kind of mix of characters so you don't pick it up and say, oh, it's clear this one did it. You just can't do that. So you want to have them, which one did it? Did any one of them do it? Or did Casey? She's just trying to make a case for herself. So it's fun to mix up different characters. It's fun to make one look guiltier than the other. And then it's fun to solve the crime.
I do want to ask you kind of a fun question. I remember you once telling us that when you complete a book, you celebrate and go shopping. So I'm just wondering, is that always true? And do you remember a particular shopping trip when you got something really spectacular for yourself?
Well, I used to buy a piece of jewelry for myself because I thought with three daughters and two granddaughters, it will never go to waste. So usually it's a nice ring or a nice bracelet, a nice necklace. And I did a fair amount of that. Now I'm starting to give it away to the kittens because I say I can't wear all this stuff. But I've always enjoyed it. I love pretty jewelry. And then sometimes it's going shopping because I've always enjoyed wearing good clothes. And in the old days, I did nothing but look for a sale. I wouldn't dream of full price. Now I can spend full price. But you know, as you get older and more able to do things, you tend to be less and less running around spending money. And I do have a lot of charities that I support, which I think is absolutely essential as part of your life as a human being. If you've been well treated, take a look at the other guy. And I think I do that pretty successfully.
That's wonderful news. And I just want to say to people that they can see you looking beautiful, as always, with rings on the back of the cover of The Sleeping Beauty Killer. A great read. Mary Higgins Clark, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Mary Higgins Clark's latest book, co-authored with Alifair Burke, is titled The Sleeping Beauty Killer, and you'll find more about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.